Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Coast to host Joe with you all here this weekend. Always a blast to be on board with the program. And we want to thank for allowing this program to exist, the Main Street Radio Network. You can find them at mainstreetradionetwork.com. It's safe to say now we have been around for 12 years now. This past sometime in the last 2 weeks was the 12th anniversary of this show. So I appreciate the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to continue for all this time, and for actually they're kind of the ones that birthed the show, so to speak. So there is much credit due to them for keeping us afloat this whole time. And if you want to show them some credit, you can go to Main Street. Ah, here we go. November 14th. That is the first show that I have a record of. And wouldn't you know it, that's almost coinciding with the when I started hosting this show, which was November of 2020. I started as a guest host with my name not attached to the show in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, actually, no, November 14th of 2020, so the, 7th anniversary of this show is when I started doing, first guest hosted for it, and then eventually I got attached to it, and now here we are celebrating the 5th anniversary of when I did it, and the first was on board, and the overall 12th anniversary of the Silk or Joe Show. Of course, at the time it was called The Jane Show, or just Jane in all capital letters with an exclamation point, followed by Silk and Antrim, because we had Kathleen Antrim on board as a guest host. But in the absence of her and Jane, it was up to me to host the program, and eventually I ended up just being a co-host altogether. So thank you. Show some appreciation. Go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. Thank them for allowing this program again to exist that entire time period, because it was entirely under their umbrella. Unlike the Alan Nathan Show, which I hosted earlier this week, we, for the Silk or Joe Show, have been around entirely under Main Street Radio Network's heading. Whereas Alan Nathan, during his lifetime, his program was on Main Street Radio Network and at least one other network, maybe more. But we don't mention them. We mention he was on them, but we don't mention their names. They who are not to be named will burst into flames or something if we name them. Or my paycheck will burst into flames before getting to my bank account. don't mention them. Anyway, so yeah, there's also alannathan.com, as I was about to say, if you want to find out more about that show, since I'm hosting several times a week now. This is Silk or Joe Show, so let's get into some Silk or Joe-y topics. Actually, I'm procrastinating this whole thing because we're waiting for a guest here, in case they don't show up, maybe I will just get into something that I've been discussing on the Alan Nathan Show earlier this week, as a matter of fact, because it really was grinding my gears, so I'll get into it right now. I just gotta call up my notes here. It's something that happened in December of 2024, and the process, it was a court case, and the process is still ongoing with this court case. It's now before the state Supreme Court in the state of Maine. But what happened was this. So there was a mother, she wanted to have her daughter raised Christian, and the father was not in the picture. He had visitation rights, but that was it. He didn't want a relationship. They didn't want a relationship at all. He's out of the picture, just has visitation rights. So he finds out, because his daughter sends him, like I say his daughter very loosely at this point, like biologically he contributed DNA, but that's pretty much the extent of his involvement in his daughter's life. And that was his choice. And then at some point the daughter sends a letter saying, hey, I'm a Christian now. I'm so happy I was baptized. She's 12 years old. You know, that's getting to the point. I mean, come on, liberals think 12-year-olds can decide what gender they're going to be for the rest of their life and get expensive surgeries that are irreversible, pretty much, and certainly will leave you sterile and irreversible in that respect, but they're not old enough to join the Christian church, apparently, because the father was floored by this, went to a judge, found an ex-ACLU president who was a judge who decided, no, the daughter isn't old enough to do this, and had some help from this Marxist Dr. Janja Lalich, who was brought in from California as an expert. Again, we're in Maine here, but they bring in this guy from California, and this ex-ACLU president rules that the daughter can't be a Christian. impossible. Now, again, the father never had custody, was never married to the mother. Their relationship ended when the child was born. Yet the father found a psycho-Marxist professor to bring in as an expert witness. The judge found the mother to be fit in every way, in fact, except that she is a Christian and wanted to teach her daughter about Christianity. What was the end result? The judge ruled that the mother could not take the daughter to church. The daughter could not be a member of the particular church the mother was taking her to. The daughter could not associate with anyone from that church. The daughter could not even associate with someone who starts going to that church after she meets them. The daughter can't even visit someone in the hospital who is in any way associated with that church. The daughter can't attend religious service at any church for any occasion, like Easter and Christmas, or even weddings and funerals. The daughter can't even have contact with any religious organizations, including food banks and the Salvation Army. So, hypothetically, this order was still standing in 7 years from now. She's 18, 19, mother passes away, she's out on her own, needs help from a food bank or Salvation Army, can't be a Christian group. Otherwise, if that's all that's available, she starves to death because of the atheist ACLU judge. Ex-ACLU, I should say. He retired from that, presumably to take judgeship and pretend that there is no bias, but boy, this ruling shows some bias. The daughter also can't read the Bible or any religious text or anything about religion, and the mother can't read a Bible to her daughter. The judge even criticized the mother for letting a church pastor pray for her daughter. And you can imagine I'm a little bugged by this gross First Amendment violation here, the right to practice your religion. But the judge was convinced by this Dr. Janja Lawich that any Christian faith that actually adheres to the Bible in any way is a cult of some kind, some lunatic cult. And I suppose that's what happens when you let the ACLU pick the judges. You know, you see their commercials out there talking about, oh, the First Amendment is under attack because we can't put porn in children's libraries. But boy, when the ACLU really attacks the First Amendment, they're silent on that one. Why aren't they denouncing this guy? Why aren't they, like, retroactively revoking his status and condemning him for all of his moves? If this were a conservative judge from, say, the Heritage, who was with the Heritage Foundation for a while, and decided to tell a 12-year-old Muslim that they couldn't be part of this radical sect of Islam, whatever it is that the Taliban are a part of, or ISIS is part of, the judge forbids the daughter of this 12-year-old kid from being part of this radical Islamic sect, then yeah, the ACLU would be all over that. The ACLU would have a field day about the First Amendment violations. But it's them violating the First Amendment in this case. So they're silent. They don't care. They're perfectly happy to do it. I mean, just look at the cases that they take. This ain't the 1960s when Lee Harvey Oswald can reach out to the ACLU to help him out and halfway expect them to do so. And that we'll actually get into that in a later segment, hopefully, because we are on the 62nd anniversary of that assassination. But the ACLU of today is not like that at all. They are in a hyper-partisan organization. They only take up cases if they can attack conservatives, if they can somehow hurt the Constitution. And then they run this ad campaign. You know, it's like the same kind of tone and tenor of the, SPCA campaigns, you know, showing the crying dogs or whatever. It's like, though, your constitution rights are under attack, but only for your $19 a month donation. We'll defend all the... No, you won't. You'll defend nothing. At least nothing that matters. Because, again, where are they in this case? An ACLU, former ACLU president of a chapter in Maine, has told this 12-year-old she can't be a Christian and legally barred her from becoming a Christian. How is that defending the First Amendment? Where is the ACLU on that? Why aren't they up in arms? Why aren't they feeling betrayed that one of their members is doing this? It's because it's Christianity. ACLU hates them. Hates them so much, in fact, that they are in favor of assassinating any Christians. You see that in the reaction to Trump voters, which are generally stereotyped as being Christians. Christian nationalists is what they call us. Even if you're not Christian and not a nationalist, they still label you as such and call you fascist for it, to the point where ACLU, in the past, their lawyers have been caught saying, yeah, assassinating them is okay, ethically justifiable. Imagine that. This organization, which claims to stand for the Constitution, not only is it okay with one of its former presidents telling a 12-year-old girl she can't be a Christian and and barring her legally from becoming a Christian, but also they think it's okay to assassinate Trump supporters. And then they complain that it's a First Amendment violation when you don't, when you take porn out of elementary school libraries. What the heck? That's the state of the ACLU. And I guess that's, you know, that, that the left loves to tout this organization as being some kind of defenders of freedom and liberal values. So I suppose these are the values that they adhere to. They are okay with barring people from becoming Christian, and they are okay with porn in your schools, and they are okay with assassinating Trump supporters. But I mean, we've seen polls about that already. So a very dangerous, violent, and perverted place that the left has got caught in. I mean, if this case was about a 12-year-old being indoctrinated into the LGBTQ thing and groomed by her parents, the ACLU would be defending that. But no, it's about her being a Christian. You can't have that. You can't have that at all if you're a leftist. So don't donate to the ACLU, I guess. Don't fall for the commercials. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
Next year marks America's 250th birthday. And what better way to celebrate than an elevated train journey through the American Southwest? Canyon Spirit offers the adventure of a lifetime with scenic train journeys through rugged canyons and desert landscapes, along with gourmet dining and world-class service. Expansive panoramic windows allow guests to watch the magnificent scenery best seen by rail, including river canyons, red rocks, and more. Canyon Spirit travels between Salt Lake City and Denver with overnight stays in Moab, Utah, and Glenwood Springs, Colorado. And the train only travels during the day, allowing guests to enjoy the journey and relax overnight in charming small towns. TV host and travel expert Kelly Rizzo.
I think there's a certain romance to boarding a train, especially through the iconic vistas of the Southwest. Canyon Spirit offers a front row seat to these breathtaking wonders, along with historic storytelling and regionally inspired gourmet dining. It's truly a wondrous experience.
To learn more, visit canyonspirit.com.
Saving Gotham City is serious business, but family comes first in an all-new DC animated series now streaming on Prime Video. Bat-Fam reveals Batman in a whole new light. At home, taking care of a newly formed family, which may be even tougher than fighting crime. Batman, Alfred, and young Damian Wayne are joined by a few new residents to Wayne Manor, including Alfred's free-spirited grandniece Alicia and a recently reformed supervillain named Claire. Together, this very unique family faces the challenges of daily life while protecting the streets of Gotham City. Executive producer and showrunner Mike Roth.
I think kids will enjoy seeing Batman at home, taking care of the cat, setting up family game night, and just being a dad. The show has lots of action, big laughs, and plenty of heart as this group of misfits come together to form a family.
Don't miss Bat-Fam, now streaming on Prime Video, because this time, justice will be served family style.
Food Network's Harry Potter Wizards of Baking returns for a magical new chapter this Sunday, November 2nd. The popular baking competition series features even more spellbinding sets, enchanted elements, and fantastical edible creations. Each week, teams must design edible creations that deliver on taste, creativity, and visual spectacle. Hosts James and Oliver Phelps, who played Fred and George Weasley, are joined by culinary judges Carla Hall and Joseph Youssef. Special guests from the Harry Potter movies will help evaluate and share their own stories from the films. James Phelps.
We shoot the series on the original sets where Harry Potter's journey came to life. And so I think that because of that, we capture a lot of the same magic that the fans loved about the films.
Oliver Phelps.
We'll have more of our behind the scenes stories, plenty of special guests, and the most extraordinary baking wizardry that you've ever seen. If you're a Harry Potter fan, you won't want to miss it.
Don't miss Harry Potter Wizards of Baking this Sunday, November 2nd at 8 p.m., 7 Central on Food Network and streaming next day on Discovery Plus and HBO Max.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned, accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. So, while we wait for yet another guest, I'm just going to whip out the old headline potluck thing. Actually, kind of, I didn't discuss this on the Al Nathan Show earlier this week. I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but some Democrats came out and told members of the military they should disobey the Trump administration. You have Senator, and they're all Democrats, by the way, Senators Alyssa Slotkin, Mark Kelly. And Mark Kelly is jarring because he was usually presented as a moderate Democrat. So where's the moderate these days? And Congressman Chris DeLuzio of Pennsylvania, Chrissy Houlihan of Pennsylvania, Maggie Goodlander of New Hampshire, and Jason Crow of Colorado. All of them came out and told the military that and the intelligence community that they should not cooperate with Trump, refuse his illegal orders. They try to say illegal orders, but they just mean any orders or whatever. And Trump got rather upset of them. Actually, though, they really have no idea what the hell they're talking about, because earlier this week, one of them was on Fox News and just could not name what the heck he was talking about. The host asked him, I'm scrolling here for the article about that to get the actual names of the people here. But yeah, the host, here we go, Martha McCallum, she was the host, and this congressman that she had on, one of those Democrats that I mentioned, he just could not, Congressman Crow, just Jason Crow of Colorado, the last one that I named, Martha McCallum was on there asking him, well, what do you mean by illegal orders? What illegal orders has he given? And Crow, and what illegal orders would you be talking about, hypothetically? Crow couldn't name a single damn one. He had no idea. He was like, I don't know, what orders? What orders are we talking about? He had no clue what he was saying. Like, when he signed on to this agreement with the other Democrats to tell the military and intelligence professionals, and I guess all of them, too, were former service members in their own right, including Crow, but they just had no idea. What would an illegal order be? What illegal orders would Trump have given? Don't know. No idea. Just trying to rouse some insurrectional spirit in the military by making them think that such things even happened. And I mean, this idiot goes on Fox News and doesn't think he's going to be asked, what are you talking about? So he doesn't have an answer ready to go about illegal orders. I mean, even make something up, for crying out loud, if you have nothing. Make something up. That's what everyone else does. It's not like Martha McCallum is sitting there on her phone. Hold on. Let me Google what you just said to see if that's what Trump did and if that was actually legal for him to do or not. You know, she's not going to be able to do that. So you can easily make something up and then get your point across, post your video online of you befuddling the Fox News host and getting your win there, and then leave it to her in the next segment, which fewer people might be watching, to say, yeah, he was totally wrong on that, but whatever. If she even bothers to do that, if she doesn't just move on and forget that the whole interview took place, because these people are kind of forgettable and vying for attention, apparently. After all, we're in the post-Schumer era, and various Democrats are trying to figure out, well, who's in control of the party at this point, and they're all vying to be the successor, vying for control, so maybe that's what these folks are hoping to do and to gain some relevancy, but they really come off as traitorous. After all, who's even going to define what the order is, illegal or not? Is it up to the individual to define if an order is illegal or not? Certainly these Democrats, based on if Jason Crow, the congressman from Colorado, is any indicator, have no idea what an illegal order is. I mean, come on. He was asked what would be an illegal order, and he couldn't answer that. Didn't have an answer even to that, let alone to what has been illegal already. Just more scaremongering, fearmongering among Democrats, really, is what it is, and they're trying to make people, by making this an issue, they're trying to make people think that it is an issue. By saying they're hoping that the weight of them making statements like this will convince people that something actually is going on when it isn't. And what is it? Nancy Pelosi refers to this as a wrap-up smear campaign. That's how she described it. Where a politician makes a statement, the media reports on that statement, and then the politician uses the reporting on the politician's statement as justification for saying something happened, whether or not it actually did. And that's what they're trying to do kind of with this. by claiming that there's illegal orders, they're not actually, they don't expect to have to point to them. Obviously, they don't have to expect to point to any, because none happened, first of all. Second of all, this Jason Crow fellow couldn't point to any. I mean, you'd think he'd sign on to this letter and then sign on to a Fox News interview by having some more background material, but I guess not. I mean, why would he, though? He's from Colorado, probably a solid blue district, probably never had to defend a position in his life. You know, it's much like what we saw in the state of Virginia during the elections, where I couldn't help but notice that the Democrat governor candidate who won didn't bother preparing for the debate that she had against a Republican opponent, just had no clue what to say, was totally idiotic and clueless on stage. And then her lieutenant governor was invited to a debate as well, but she just outright refused. Now, that's smart. You know you're going to win. Don't make yourself look stupid. Don't embarrass yourself. You know you're going to win. Just stay silent. Let the votes come in. Basement Joe Biden back in 2020 had the right idea. You know you're going to win. You know it's rigged beyond belief. Just sit down, take the votes, and sit in office. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't look stupid. Have some pride. But Spamberger in Virginia and Jason Crow from Colorado, I guess they really think that they're media darlings. They really have an inflated opinion of themselves and their ability to handle the media or questions in general. And so they go out there, present themselves, and they look stupid. And I don't know, maybe they just have no ability to be embarrassed for themselves. They probably wet themselves on stage and laugh and not feel embarrassed about it. But I digress. The point is, there is nothing here that they were referring to, but the fact that they brought it up, the fact that they did issue this order, they means they're going to get some friendly coverage from their friendly left-wing media folks, and the public at large might be convinced that there is something going on here when there isn't, just because why would these six people make such a statement unless they could back it? Oh, there must be something there. But then one of them goes out, and I got to imagine, too, the other folks who signed on to this thing are looking at Jason Crow like, why did you do this to us? Why did you go embarrass us? Why couldn't you have asked one of us if you had any examples? If you couldn't think of it on your own, why didn't? Because now we all look like idiots. Now we all look like we have no idea what we're talking about because you decided to represent yourself to the media and just couldn't do it. Now we all look stupid for doing this. And their chances, their hopes of using this to parlay it to a better role in the party in this new restructuring that's going on, well, that just got crapped on because this guy made them all look stupid. Congratulations. Your gambit blew up in your face on that account. Or maybe it didn't. I mean, Democrats are known for looking stupid when they're and allowing that to continue. I mean, like I said, the Democrat candidate in Virginia, she only lost 17% of the vote from Kamala Harris last year after going out and looking stupid. So clearly they have Democrats are a very forgiving audience when it comes to that. But then again, we're also talking about internal party politics that the voters are kind of left out of. And maybe this will factor against them because of this idiot that they associated themselves with. We'll see. But Jason Crow did admit finally that there was nothing going on. They wanted, though, a soft coup is what they were trying to go for. The military just disobeys these orders that were given. And that's the actual quote from what they were saying. Soft coup. So, insurrection right there, right? Isn't that what they're talking about? Insurrection? Kind of like what General Mark Milley under President Trump in his first term was talking about doing. Soft insurrection. But no, Democrats don't care about that. It's only insurrection when it's against them and their power. Otherwise, it's freedom fighting, even if it's not justified. More Silker Dosh after this.
This holiday season, as families gather to celebrate, the Army Reserve is proud to reaffirm our commitment to those who serve and those who support them. Command Sergeant Major Gregory Betty shares more.
The Army Reserve supports our nation and invests in the future of our warrior citizens each and every day. Our soldiers remain combat ready to respond to today's ever-changing challenges with world-class training and career opportunities. The Army Reserve remains focused on building a stronger, more connected community. From the U.S. Army Reserve, happy holidays to all soldiers, families, civilians, and the communities that support us. Wherever you are this season, thank you for your service and dedication. Wishing you a joyful, safe and peaceful holiday. Twice a citizen, combat ready, this will defend.
Visit usar.army.mil to learn more about the Army Reserve.
Cold and flu season is here, and families are searching for natural ways to support immunity. Roxana Asani, registered dietitian and nutritionist, has more.
Herbal remedies help strengthen the body's natural defenses for daily resilience and energy so you're ready for whatever the season brings.
For adults, that means stronger immunity and steady energy to keep up with work and family. For kids, it's about gentle, safe support parents can feel good about during the school year.
Not all immune support products are created equal. Look for quality-tested options with trusted ingredients. Immune and Energy for adults blends astragalus, ashwagandha, Siberian ginseng, and reishi. For kids ages 3 to 12, our Immune Daily Serb features clinically researched herbs and raspberry flavor with zero sugar.
Harker Herbals, New Zealand's leading natural wellness company, has been making herbal remedies for 45 years. Now their immune and wellness products are available in the U.S. on Amazon and harkerherbals.com.
Butterball, the best known and most loved brand of turkey in the U.S., has partnered with renowned ChefCore brand Headley and Bennett to create the first ever Thanksgiving hosting pans. Butterball turkey talk line expert Corey Gustavik shares more.
Roasting whole turkey isn't something most of us do every day. It can be intimidating and stressful, but the right clothes can make you feel more confident and comfortable in the kitchen. That's why Butterball created the first of their kind Thanksgiving hosting pants. Designed with a fun turkey print in Butterball blue, these pants are sure to give you swagger in the kitchen while keeping all your cooking essentials within arm's reach. With custom pockets for your meat thermometer and phone, loops for your utensils and towels, and a bottle opener to keep the party hydrated, these pants will help you get a leg up in your hosting duties this year. Butterball is giving away for free one final time while supplies last at noon Eastern this Monday, November 17th.
Learn more and claim your pair of hosting pants at ThanksgivingHostingPants.com.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. My co-host Joe hosting today. I've been stood up by two guests so far, so it's just been me talking. And I'm feeling it, man. I'm taking it personally. I'm going to go... This weekend I'm out with friends, so we're having a Friendsgiving sort of thingy. But anyway, I'm just going to do some headline potluck for this segment, because I just see this... I'm just on the Gateway Pundit homepage here. Let's take a look at this. Reality check. Zoran Mamdani already walking back plans to replace police with social workers in response to certain crimes. No. Really? He doesn't want to send a social workers to a social worker to the site of an active shooting? Brilliant. He has total rigid brain. You know, smooth brains are supposed to be dumb. Rigid brains are supposed to be smart. His brain is so rigid that the crevices in it are as deep as the Marianas Trench. That's such a brilliant man for coming to the logical deduction that perhaps social workers are not the best people to respond to every crime out there. Anyway, another headline that I saw, the Trump administration has not kidnapped children, neither are they missing. Well, that's interesting. Now, that's coming out because there's these reports on social media and even some of the more mainstream news outlets that Trump is stealing children, kidnapping them, or has lost thousands of children because of immigration enforcement. It's not happening, though, under Trump. In fact, that is what happened under Joe Biden. As RFK Jr. pointed out, the Biden administration became one of the largest human trafficking organizations just because of how many non-citizen minors, illegal immigrant minors that crossed the border that the Biden administration just gave to whoever and didn't bother keeping track of. I mean, come on. Democrats care so much about stopping your child from being Christian that an ex-ACLU judge will give a court order that your child can't be Christian. Yet when it comes to human trafficking, they don't care at all. Where's the ACLU protecting the rights of these kids and starting like a class action lawsuit against the Biden administration for losing all these kids? Didn't happen because they don't care about that. They don't care if your child ends up as a sex worker. They care if your child ends up as a Christian, apparently. Liberal priorities, folks, liberal priorities. There's a lot of stories, though, that you'll see about, oh, Trump administration kidnapped this illegal immigrant, or this person was arrested here, or this person was shot here by ICE. And then you look at the story and it's like, yeah, well, either this didn't happen, it was totally fictitious, or the circumstances warranted the actions the agents took. You people are lying or just crazy and want ICE agents to die and want non-citizens to be above the law. Good old left-wing immigration. But now at least we see what they actually meant. You bring them in, put them on food stamps, you lose their kids to human traffickers. Doesn't matter as long as they are in the country, warm bodies to vote Democrat and give Social Security numbers to of people who've died, things like that, so that we can keep using them in elections, perhaps, because, oh, they're still active on SNAP. Well, actually, that person's long dead, but you're not going to look into that. It's part of the whole voter fraud mechanism, and also kind of part of the effort to kind of change the culture in the U.S. a little bit, make sure you have a permanent underclass that will continue to vote Democrat because they think that this is how to do it. And they also, was it with Democrats and slave labor anyway? I mean, come on. They fought a civil war to keep slave labor in place, and now they're threatening a civil war to keep basically slave labor in place. We saw the effects under the Biden administration of unfettered illegal immigration. Wages stagnated, whereas corporate profits rose. Why did wages stagnate? Well, perhaps because every new job that was created, on the whole, ended up going towards illegal immigrants and, well, immigrants in general, probably the H-1B visa types. But, you know, why do companies go to the expense of bringing in the H-1B visa folks? Why do companies go to the expense of doing the L-1 visas, you know, flying people in from outside the country? And training them in foreign countries first in the case of the L-1 visas. Why do the companies go to all that trouble? Because it's cheaper. It's cheap labor. You know, Democrats used to be the party of the working class. They still claim to be the party of tax the rich and destroy the wealth gap or whatever. But we saw under their policies, the wealth cap, wage gap just grew. Because they were all in favor of this unfettered immigration, legal and illegal, bring the whole world in, put the whole world on corporate America's payroll, except American citizens who are left to just pay taxes for the welfare that these immigrants receive, whether legal or illegal. And that's another thing, too. They come out and say, oh, well, it's illegal for these immigrants to be for the illegal immigrants to be receiving welfare of any kind or whatever. See, it's right there in the law. It doesn't stop them. They still do it. The Biden administration was handing this stuff out like candy. Just because something is illegal doesn't mean it's not going to happen. If that were the case, then gun-free zones should be working. There's a couple of mass shootings that should not have happened because it was illegal to have a gun in there. But you know what? We Democrats don't favor that argument that because there's a law, that means it doesn't happen when it comes to mass shootings. Yet they do favor that argument when it comes to government programs like welfare and all that. And also, I've heard that argument presented as well for election fraud and voter fraud. Oh, it's illegal, therefore it doesn't happen. Oh, all these people in the election, and there's all these checks and balances in the electoral system to keep it from happening. But you look at the polls, 60% of Democrats think Trump should be assassinated. You don't think those same people counting votes are going to cheat to keep Trump out of office if they feel so strongly that he should be killed? I would say they are perfectly capable of cheating. In fact, that calls into question the elections in various states, like Virginia, for example. I just speak of it because I live here, so pardon me for being slightly biased to a thing, to a subject that I know a little about. But in the state of Virginia, they even though you do have to present your ID when you come to vote, if you don't bring your ID, they give you a provisional ballot. You can still vote. You just have to, it's sort of an honor system, I guess. You just have to come back later and say, with your ID, and say, yeah, that's my ballot. Here's my ID. Now you can count it. But do you really think if that ballot was straight ticket Democrat, do you really think the same Democrats who want to assassinate Trump are going to say, look at that provisional ballot and say, huh, you know, the person didn't show back up with an ID, so we're not going to count it? No, they're going to count it. Because they think that they're lying. They feel so strongly that he should die. Why wouldn't they count a ballot? It's so simple. You know, they're not going to pull the trigger. At least they're going to count the ballot that makes sure he doesn't come into power, right? So I don't see the argument here where, oh, these people who are so mad they want to kill him are say it's okay to punch Trump supporters in the face, who want all this violence, who advocate for all this violence. Those same people are going to fairly count ballots in an election. It doesn't make sense, especially if the ballots are in favor of the people that they want to hurt. Why would they do that? There is no honor system here. I mean, you have doctors and nurses questioning the ethics of treating a Trump supporter who comes in front of them. You have some who just outright said, I want to let him die. You have some psychotherapists too, out there who are saying that you know, they are rabidly against Trump and would not help Trump supporters. So if the rot is that deep, why would election workers be any different? If your medical professional will treat you differently and possibly not treat you at all based on your politics, certainly a lowly electoral worker who doesn't have such an oath, or does have such an oath, I guess, about counting everything fairly, why wouldn't they violate that oath the same as the doctor or the nurse or the psychiatrist? Why wouldn't they? They think that Trump is a big enough threat that he should be assassinated. Well, then aren't they a hero if they don't count the election properly? And likewise, when they aid and abet illegal immigrants to vote illegally and give them food stamps illegally, they see them as a means to power, as a means to keep the fascists in check, the fascists that they want to assassinate. Why wouldn't they help them? Why wouldn't they break the law? Why wouldn't they do everything in their power? You know, we have 26 states right now that won't have an audit of their SNAP programs. They just outright refused. No, we're going to let the rot and the corruption stay in place because it keeps the people that we want, keeps them here. You'd find out about all the fraud and illegal immigrants and the waste in the system. And we don't want that because the people who commit this fraud and the illegal immigrants who are also on these programs, well, they happen to vote Democrat. Remember, there was a poll that showed something like 3 million people who voted illegally, illegal immigrants who voted illegally in the 2020 election, promised to do the same in 2024. And Democrats say that there is no such thing as your voting systems are secure. There's no fraud. Everything's just A-OK. Everything's fine. Except when a Republican wins, then they say that there's fraud. They have Mark Elias, a lawyer who's out there and makes his name saying that there's fraud whenever a Republican wins. And then, of course, anytime a Republican president wins, you see Democrat congressmen coming out and challenging the legitimacy of the results in various states on the House floor. So fraud only exists. And don't forget, in 2000 and 2004, 2016, they said that Trump stole the election, and they still said right after 2024, they said Trump stole the election. These people are nuts. You can't expect them to be unbiased, and this illegal immigration, to tie it back to what I guess got me started on this train of thought, you know, they're going to give them a free pass to violate the law and help them violate the law. Help them get on these food stamps. Help them vote. Doesn't matter, because it means a vote against fascism, a vote against evil, a vote against the people that the majority of Democrats want to assassinate. Anyway, folks, we got more Silker Joe Show coming up after this break.
Prime Video introduces June Farms, a charming new unscripted series filled with love, drama, and farms. June Farms, which sits on 120 acres in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, is a well-known destination for high-end weddings and events. The farm hosts eccentric locals, well-heeled travelers, and occasional celebrities who come for the unique accommodations and incredible service. But sometimes not everything goes as planned. Demanding guests, unpredictable weather, vendor mishaps, and a property full of animals can all wreak havoc on the farm's intricately planned events. June Farms owner Matt Baumgartner.
This is a high-stress job to say the least, especially during wedding season. But despite the chaos, my employees and I all come together, kind of like a weird, dysfunctional family, and create magical memories that last a lifetime. I think viewers will enjoy getting a look at what happens behind the curtains and how, incredibly, everything seems to fall into place.
Don't miss June Farms, now streaming on Prime Video.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a common, contagious, and potentially serious virus that can affect the lungs and breathing passages. GSK's Sideline RSV campaign is highlighting the risks for older adults, especially those with certain chronic conditions. With more, here's Dr. Leonard Friedland from GSK.
Each year, about 177,000 adults 65 and older are hospitalized in the U.S. with RSV. Adults aged 50 to 74 with chronic lung or heart disease, complicated diabetes, or weakened immune systems, and all adults 75 and older are at increased risk for severe illness.
Vaccination is available to help prevent severe RSV.
It's essential to understand your risks. Older adults should talk to their doctor or pharmacist about RSV and ask if vaccination is right for them. Taking proactive steps now can help prevent severe illness later.
For more information and resources, visit sidelinersv.com.
The Medicare annual enrollment period runs each year from October 15th through December 7th, and it's an important time of year for the millions of Americans who already enjoy Medicare coverage. It's their chance to compare plan options for 2026. We know that Medicare coverage can be confusing. One thing I recommend to help navigate through the process is really focus on two things: cost and coverage. For cost, you want to consider things like the plan's premium, deductibles, copay or coinsurance. And for coverage, you should look not only at the medical coverage, things like hospital and doctor visits, but also prescription drug coverage and any extra benefits. The annual enrollment period runs from October 15th through December 7th. It's a great time to compare those cost and coverage of the plans available. Lots of options to consider for your Medicare choices in 2026. To help you navigate, I would recommend starting with a visit to MedicareEducation.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. Well, I guess because of numerous issues, perhaps our phone line is showing up as spam on people's phones. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to present you with the JFK guest I was expecting for this final segment that I teased in the opening segment, too. Make a liar out of me, why don't you? But anyway, joining us now is someone who was supposed to be on in that opening segment that I just mentioned. Oh, gosh, I just changed the font color to her name where it could not be readable. Let me undo that here. We have Leslie Corbley, author, poet, writer on Substack, and attorney. Her debut poetry collection is titled Silent Suffering, Poems of Pain and Purpose. Leslie Corbley, happy having the show. How are you today?
Thanks for having me. Doing great. How are you?
Yep, I'm doing well, thank you. So we have Michelle Obama coming out saying men are responsible for Kamala Harris's failed presidential bid. But then by that account, in the state of Virginia, we just had an election where the black immigrant candidate didn't win. So does that mean voters are racist and xenophobic?
I don't know. I think the whole discourse around which demographic is or isn't responsible for various negative or positive election outcomes is a very shallow analysis, because I think at the end of the day, there's a lot going underneath the various complaints that different demographics have. For what it's worth, I feel the same way about huge complaints about red pilling and the alleged extremism that's coming up on the right, especially among young men. I think we're better served by understanding the reasons why these demographics are moving towards the ideas they are, rather than, you know, saying they're responsible for negative, what we perceive as negative outcomes in elections. I don't think that's a particularly helpful way to go about solving complex social and political problems in the future.
Right. It just sort of demeans the idea that because you have a different opinion than someone else, maybe it's mm-hmm. based entirely in fact and logic, but oh, you're a bigot of some flavor for having that opinion.
or a different grievance, for what it's worth. You know, people have different grievances, and that's how society and various cultures operate, right? I mean, by way of example, I don't think anyone has a problem saying that African Americans maybe have grievances against white people, right? So there's just this sort of very prejudicial lens through which the Democratic Party looks at demographic interactions in the U.S., where certain demographics are able to say really nasty and contentious things about other demographics, say men versus women, African-Americans versus whites, or any minority versus the other, but it doesn't operate in reverse. And when that happens, I think it creates really ripe for conditions for a lot more cultural friction rather than less. So mm-hmm. I think it's just really damaging in the long run.
Yeah, it's much easier, too, to say, well, it's a flavor of bigotry or it's some other issue than saying, you know, maybe I was wrong about my position and maybe I should focus on a different issue than the issue I was focusing on mm-hmm. because I'm familiar with this issue, but it didn't win me the election. Therefore, you know, instead mm-hmm. of going to alien waters and addressing what voters want, I'm just going to call them names.
Absolutely. And it ignores legitimate grievances that pop up when you engage in this cross-demonization, right? So again, the Democrats complain a lot about there being intolerance and bigotry on the right, but I don't think they see that in their own ranks, and it fuels what they perceive as extremism on the opposite side, because there are legitimate grievances. I mean, if you were a white Christian man on a college campus the past 10 years, you probably weren't having a very good time, and you probably didn't have a lot of privilege in that space. So again, it's a very, like I said, a very truncated and narrow-minded understanding of who does and doesn't have privilege socially, rather than having a more open-minded approach and understanding privilege and corresponding power or responsibility operates differently in different social spheres and structures. And okay, how do we then become more aware and understanding of people who run in circles we don't, and maybe have faced issues we have not, right? And I think that most certainly, especially in the realm of misunderstanding young men with the red pilling movement is rampant right now on the left. It's just not understanding what the legitimate grievances they do have. And that's interestingly, you know, completely disconnected in some ways from whether you think that their prescribed solutions or opinions are correct. It's like they can't even empathize with them on the human level of, wow, I can understand how you might have come to this vantage point from the experiences you've had. That's sort of not really encouraged in the left right now.
Yeah, well, there's an element of narcissism to it, because if you acknowledge that someone else's suffering is valid, then you're suddenly not the only one who's suffering, but you get political points by virtue signaling and saying, I'm such a victim. I mean, that's why we see all this stuff about mental illnesses now. It's almost in chic to have a mental illness on the left so that you can claim some kind of oppression status.
Absolutely. So true. The same with, you know, the same with, in some ways, sexual orientation, and, you know, where you have to be something other than just straight in order to gain points for either oppression or uniqueness or something different about you. I think that that's really, again, I think unhelpful, because it's, it lacks authenticity, right? People who actually have these problems or different orientations or whatever the case may be, it hits very different culturally when someone is operating from a place of truth with respect to those issues, rather than, oh, how can I utilize the cultural zeitgeist on the left in order to, for self-aggrandizement purposes or self-serving purposes. And I think that this is a lot of the self-serving purposes on the left right now. It makes the movement very hollow and weakens it in a way, because it appears performative. And just like with religious movements, when it appears performative, it loses its power, right? People want it to be authentic and genuine and real, and that's what makes for powerful cultural messaging. And so I just, yeah, I think no surprise here at all. You know, men are an easy group to crap on, because it's very culturally considered okay to do that. It's not going to get you canceled to trash men as the reason that something terrible has happened in society, but I don't think it's particularly helpful.
Yeah, and Michelle Obama was just following in the steps of Barack Obama himself, who last year, I remember the late Alan Nathan, he'd asked me to get these clips for him. It's all these black folks on social media reacting to Obama saying that, black men, I know you're sexist, but get out and vote for Kamala Harris, is pretty much what she said. And all these black folks on social media, some women, some men, are just like, who are you to tell us that?
It is such a bold and such an aggressive and aggressive way to try to market the idea of voting for a specific candidate, right? You're morally corrupt if you don't, essentially. It proves that you're this bad character that has been created to be, you know, the cultural imagination. You represent that if you don't vote accordingly. And I don't think it's just so incredibly unpersuasive, which is interesting, because Barack Obama generally is such a master of rhetoric. You know, he's really a very, very adept at being persuasive and reading the room. And so the fact that he was, I think it will shows a level of desperation that was on the left at the time, because Kamala Harris was such a terrible candidate to run for president. I think it shows a level of desperation that was there, of like, there really isn't much else to sell the candidate other than, you know, be a good citizen and do the right thing. Right. Not compelling, though.
Well, we're just out of time here, but Leslie Corbett, we appreciate you being on the show. 10 seconds here, real quick. Where can our listeners get a copy of your new book, Progressive Prejudice, Exposing the Devouring Mother? About like 5 seconds left.
Sure. So that would be lesliecorbett.com or amazon.com.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out. We're done with you for this show this weekend. Our website, mainstreetmedianetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.